Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Welcome to the show, gearheads.
Woo!
Everybody awake now?
Everybody's awake after that German Grand Prix of the finish. Yeah, hey guys, I had to go run some errands for the first 40 laps. What did I miss?
Not much.
Man, how about the last 20-something laps?
So Liberty, I got the whole solution. Liberty just need to order rain at all times at all Grand Prix.
They're going to send sprinklers, up, as somebody said.
Yeah.
No, they're going to send up drones and seed the clouds.
That's it. I like it. So, typical British day for a typical British driver.
Germany.
Isn't it the irony of all of this? We've been talking about these two men going for 5 world titles each in the two best cars there is. And then in Lewis's backyard, Vettel wins. And in Vettel's backyard, Lewis wins.
That's funny. I hadn't thought about it that way. But that does change the championship, though, with Vettel
Massive.
Out, man. Pretty dramatic. We'll get to calculate the points here in a minute.
That's the biggest swing of this to-and-fro championship between these two men that we've had. And it also puts, as I said, Raikkonen, with Vettel not finishing, another podium for him. So it helps Bottas and Raikkonen close the gap on this battle. We've got we're at the halfway point, 10 to go. Ding, ding.
Yeah,
17 points. Hamilton up on Vettel. So yeah, that's close. That's close. Like I said, and you know, we our podium predictions didn't really come off.
That's true.
We certainly know the team orders if we didn't before.
Oh man, that was really fascinating. With especially at what was it about lap? I don't know, 40 when Sebastian Vettel and Kimi Raikkonen were getting team orders.
Raikkonen was leading. I mean, the Mercedes one was far more obvious. It was like station, whole position, anything could happen. And the guy and by the way, as Bottas says in his interview afterwards, look, I made an attempt. I didn't get past Lewis at the restart. And quite rightly, the team said, you know, don't keep that up, even if you could, because we have to think about the championship. Whereas the Raikkonen decision was immaterial because Vettel went off in the end, but you know, I feel for Kimi.
And it was fascinating the way they were saying, they didn't ever come out and say,
no,
Kimi let him pass. They just said,
Kimi tried to make Jock Clear say it.
Yeah. He said, well, what are you saying? You know, to just come out and say it. And they never did.
I think there was two things going on there. One was he actually did want clarification because he was leading the race and he was like, hey, your tires are going off, both of you. You heard Vettel on the radio beforehand saying, my tires are going off, and I could go lower. He basically instructed the team that he could go faster, and that's kind of what prompted it.
Well, if you notice when Vettel went around him, he was quickly 2.5. I looked first time I looked up, he was 2.5 seconds ahead of Raikkonen.
But Raikkonen was saving his tires. So.
Well, it's true. It's true. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's just one of the stories today. We've got some of this team radio, too. We're going to play that, too. But what about the Haas boys? I always like to jump straight to that. So,
good for Grosjean. We said
He didn't really have the greatest race, but ended up with good result.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to be in it to win it. I mean, it was a lottery at the end, and good strategy from those that sort of chose at the right time. But it was a lottery. Like I said, you could not have predicted what tires to be on. I think the only real genius was the move
Gasly?
To bring Hamilton in and put him out on the ultra softs with a double option, effectively. One, to go to the end. Two, if it rained, which it did, he was in a good position and could go faster than anybody before the rain. And that's what won in the Grand Prix.
Yeah. And I was joking about Gasly because he was the first one to go full wet.
Yeah.
And then they took him off the full wets and then it started raining. It's like, you can't win with that kind of back and forth tire strategy, of course. But
one thing I am happy about, Hartley. Finally getting some championship points.
Yeah, actually, I think he had some points before
sure,
today.
But, I mean, he's had a rotten run.
Well, yeah, he's had a miserable. But, you know, watching Vettel go off track, I watched the replay going, what happened? And he had no control whatsoever.
Yeah, he just came into the stadium section. The stadium section starts with a right-hander, a very fast right-hander, which I think was drier than before. And then it goes into that left-hander, and that's where he lost it. And he just didn't even steer. He just went straight off.
Well, obviously, we're going to recap the German Grand Prix here, but we got some other things we're going to talk about on the show today because there's some business of Formula One that we're going to talk about today because we got to do an interview yesterday with Christian Silt, who is the editor of Formula Money and is quite prolific in the Formula One business world. And he writes for Forbes magazine and several other magazines. And we've got some interviews with him we're going to talk about later in the show. But let's get back to the German Grand Prix and you know, talking about down the grid a little bit. Red Bull, we lost Daniel Ricciardo in the middle of the race with a technical problem.
Yeah, Daniel Ricciardo, yes. I mean, he started at the back. He was a little bit slower than Hamilton coming through. But, it was not a great day for Red Bull across the board. Verstappen, I was listening to Christian Horner on the radio to Verstappen as well, and they made a decision, and it didn't pay off for them. So, yeah, for both Ricciardo and Verstappen, not the perfect day.
Wait a minute. Red Bull is Toro Rosso, Brendan Hartley.
Oh, well, yeah, all right, fair enough. But, I mean, for
okay,
Red Bull,
stretching.
It was... I'm trying. I'm just glad to see Brendan Hartley get some points.
And Gasly, to be fair. Both of them got points. Yeah.
And, you know, they look good. Look good. Glad to see those guys in there. The rest of it, I don't think there's any argument. You got to give it to Hamilton for the driver of the day.
Yeah, I mean, when's the last time we've done somebody come from this far back to win a race? I think it was 2005, I think, when... I think it was Japan. I don't remember who it was, but it was 2005. That is a huge run to come from the back, and obviously the rain. And we are obviously hoping for a little rain after the first 40 laps, and there was not much activity. It was actually very boring race up to that point.
Well, I think Hamilton is one of those that plays well in the rain, and so I think that further helped him out.
Been a roller coaster couple of weeks, though, hasn't it, for him? The highs and lows of pole at Silverstone and yep. Then the lows of not getting the win, having gone from the back to second, then getting down to 14th, trying to roll the car back after ruining the hydraulics or whatever he did, starting from 14th and then coming through. And really, like I said, the lottery of the weather helping Hamilton, but also the strategy of the team, to be fair. And that hats off to Toto and the boys from Mercedes, that will be one that they will remember for a long time to come because you forget that, you know, take Lewis and Valtteri out. Most of the team, it's a German-based team, certainly the head honchos. Obviously, they're based in the UK, but at the same time, that's a massive win at Hockenheim in Germany for Mercedes.
Yeah, you gotta be excited for them, and you could see that the whole Mercedes crew jumping up and down. And so what about Lewis Hamilton, guys? When he got through on the radio, he was love wins all. It's just this weird behavior continuing.
Yeah, and I say weird behavior. What I mean by that is nothing wrong to be, you know, thankful and, you know, have a private prayer. But he is kind of becoming a little. Yeah, he's bringing it in, whether it's been there. I mean, he's always, you know, thank God and always all that kind of stuff. But we've not seen this as openly. Even Rosberg picked up on it. I mean, you know, he sat by the car yesterday and had a little prayer with it. He's just, I don't know, he's kind of maybe just turning that corner.
Maybe, and if that's what it is, if that's his spirituality, it's fine. But it's just odd a little bit. It's not a big deal, I guess. It's just a little odd.
It's just more noticeable, yeah.
Yeah, we see it in other sports. I think it's just that he's kind of amped it up more recently. I mean, you know, so we've seen that. Like I said, football players do it pretty routinely.
Yeah, I think I think he's kind of playing the role of the megastar, and I think he's using that role to play to his audience, which he has a huge audience.
I'll say this about it. I'd a lot rather hear that than any political rants.
Fine. It's just,
hey, peaceful and goodness. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, that's true.
So I've just seen an official Kimi Raikkonen crossing the pit lane entry line and losing 5 seconds.
Did it matter?
It didn't matter.
All righty. We questioned whether that during the race, whether that was really up to it. That entry line is a kind of line of debarkation. You don't cross that because of the possibility of going back into fast moving traffic. And when they had a call on it, he was originally told to go to the pit. And so, there's a bit of indecisiveness on the team directions to him. So you can't really blame him. But, he took a shot at it.
I had a brain fart.
What?
What I was thinking, actually, and now I'm getting it because I was nudged in the right direction, thankfully. 2:16, Raikkonen came across the pit lane entry and was fined.
Oh, yeah.
And was given a 5 second fine. He was given a 5 second penalty. Lewis, in, out, 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 shake it all about, did exactly the same thing. No fine. No,
he did not.
No fine. Okay. Right. Right. So Raikkonen did back in 16. And Vettel, I mean, and
which
and
actually
Hamilton
was brilliant
year.
Research by my mate Matt. So I'm just keeping him honest there. That's his work. So he just prompted me, and that is brilliant because it's true. And it does beg the question, how can you do that? How can you go across the grass while leading a Grand Prix, while under the safety car, and not get in trouble? We said at the time that's going to cause trouble, and it did. He did it twice.
Yeah. Well, I wish we had that radio. To tell you what, we do have a little radio clip that we can play. We've got Lewis Hamilton's post-race audio. I think it was at 16:47, producer. But Lewis, let's hear Lewis Hamilton's post-race audio.
Get in there, Lewis. Miracles do happen, mate.
Guys, what an amazing job by you guys. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful. Love conquers all.
Yeah, mate, that has been a stellar drive. Absolutely stellar drive.
Okay, yeah, I take it back. It's okay.
But it's the love conquers all. It's like, what? I don't know. It's like, you're in a race. It's a competitive situation. You got 700 people all trying to get a machine across a line, and love conquers all. I don't know. It's just, it doesn't seem to fit the modern sport. He would have been better if he'd have made a more religious remark about thanking his God or whatever it might be. But love conquers all? I don't know.
It is just a little strange. All right, so what other stories down the grid here a little bit? Because obviously there was a lot of stories when the rain came out and the tire started going on and off. And we saw intermediates come on. We saw them come off and super softs come on. What'd you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, strategy was key, I think, and there was a lot of head scratching and meteorological looking, checking out the charts, so to speak, because we really couldn't predict it. And I said at Hockenheim, it can be like that. And it was. I mean, it really was just two corners.
Hey, I'm looking at the bigger picture right now for the season. I love this. I love this. Yeah. It's, Hamilton and Vettel are still in sparring distance with each other.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting tweets now saying, wow, this championship's lit up, quite literally. By the way, call in, 512-643-LAIVE. L-A-L-I-V-E. That's 1370. That's 5483. So 512-643-5483.
I thought you were adding a Canadian extension.
Yes.
If you're in Canada.
Hey, it always fits in somewhere.
I don't know how to call from
you
Canada.
Know, there's several Canadian drivers in Indy.
Yes.
We found this out.
That's true. If you heard last week's show, you know what he's talking
Flashback.
About.
Flashback.
All right, so what else, guys? What about the Renault team? So, obviously, I'm rooting for the Renault team to do bad so Haas can do better. And they look pretty good. Of course, Carlos Sainz did have that 10-second penalty for what was that, guys? Passing?
He passed the Alfa Romeo, the Sauber, under the safety car.
I know,
car.
But it was just so blatant.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
Did he have a brain? Speaking of brain farts.
To be honest, I said it when he did it. He does have some lapses to his Carlos. Occasionally. He did one in Canada, if you remember. Massive crash he got into. But yeah, that was a weird one. But Hülkenberg almost had the brilliant. It was one point at the last restart where I thought Hülkenberg was on the right tires and the right place to go all the way if everybody else started falling off. But no luck for Hülkenberg. I thought it was going to be his first podium in 9,000 Grand Prix.
We haven't talked about this, but we talked about it in the pre-show, and that is Lewis Hamilton signing a new contract. That's not a bad way to start off your new contract.
2 years, yeah.
2 years
and
worth.
And I think. Also, Bottas. So, two new contracts. Not a bad way to start that off with a 1-2.
Love does conquer all.
Love does conquer.
Sure, that's
what
it is.
He got some love.
There you go.
In the form of 40 million. I call that love, baby.
Hey, well, you talk about people who did sign contracts. Fernando Alonso has actually commented that he will not be back and he will quit Formula One by 2021 season.
Wow.
You think that's going to...
Hey, whoa. This is... Stop the presses, Les. Where are you finding this piece of information?
Hey. It's out there.
Have you got a special interweb that we don't have?
It's out there, but
Les Webb. The mayor's web. So, seriously, you're saying that... I mean, you've got to put that in context. So, he is basically saying he will not drive after the new Concorde Agreement, which effectively is almost the reset button for Formula One.
Right.
Yep. Which isn't that surprising. So he's not going to go into the new era of Formula.
Well, and here's the way that came about is they were, we mentioned the 18-inch tires that are coming up, and he was specifically asked about it. And so his comment back was, "I don't know. I will not be here anymore."
Yeah. I think that's an off the cuff rather than a sort of calculated
declaration
of exactly when his contracts will end. But yeah, he's probably right. He's probably thinking ahead, going, you know what? Yeah, 4 years from now, I think
Indiana was kind of nice.
Well, I think that's why Lewis signed a 2-year deal because Mercedes can't exactly offer a 3-year deal because they haven't negotiated their own deal. So yeah, all bets are off. I think that makes sense, and it does also make sense that. Well, how old will Alonso be? I'm trying to work it out. But I think he'll be done.
I think he'll be just fine.
two more years.
I just got to say that was quite an interesting quip. And I don't think it was just a quip. I think he's frustrated with this. I don't think he wants to battle this anymore. He wants to go after the rest of his triple crown.
Yeah, everybody at Silverstone was saying that you remember who you're talking to. You're talking to all the Formula One folks, but they were saying they can't see him doing a full season of Indy. And ultimately, I can, actually. I think he enjoys the environment. I think he enjoys the study. I think there's so many different ovals. It's not all about Indianapolis. And also, there's some great tracks that Indy go to. I can see him doing a season in Formula One and really immersing himself into it. Maybe even, if McLaren are serious, or at least if there is an Alonso team, may not even be McLaren, formed around him. That he would jump at that. He's a racer. He likes racing. It doesn't matter. You could give him a go-kart and he'd be fine, or a bicycle. He's that kind of guy. I mean, so is Hamilton. They just enjoy the competition. Rosberg, the opposite. He studied it, won the championship, and walked away.
All right, guys, we got to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our German Grand Prix recap. And later in the show, we're going to talk about the business of Formula One, because we had a great interview with Christian Silt of Formula Money. Listening to Speed City live in Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
The Austin East KOA Campground, just 15 minutes from Circuit of the Americas and downtown Austin, and just 2 minutes from the Travis County Expo Center and Central Texas Fishing at Decker Lake, featuring amenities for every style of camping, from tent sites to luxury RV pull-throughs and cabins, plus a pool, showers, and laundry. Nestled in tall oak trees on the edge of the hill country, all the pleasures of the Lone Star State await you at Austin East KOA. To make your reservation, visit AustinEastKOA.com.
Do you want to drive a rally car?
Well, you can at Dirtfish.
Get behind the wheel of an all-wheel drive Subaru WRX, STI, or rear-wheel drive Subaru BRZ rally car at our 315-acre training facility. Learn advanced car control skills on any surface, in any condition, on our 12 different rally courses. Drift through corners, hammer down straightaways, go fast, get sideways, and visit Dirtfish.com.
On air, online, and on your smart device. Talk 1370 is the right choice.
Here comes the rain again, raining in my head like a tragedy, tearing me apart like a new emotion.
Hi, Brendan Hartley. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Hey, congratulations, Brendan Hartley. You got some points today.
Congratulations, Casey. He got the right song. It's raining.
It's raining again. Our producer, Casey. Hey, we got a caller. Let's talk to Phil. He is calling in. It looks like he's somewhere between Montgomery, Alabama, and somewhere else, Atlanta, Georgia.
Is it raining?
Sounds like a song.
Hey, Phil, how's it going?
Excellent. How are you?
Doing good. What did you think of the race today?
Fantastic. I love it. Lewis proved his worth.
I'm going to say, yeah, he earned his bucks, huh?
I think he proved his worth, and we got to also listen to, who was it, Leclerc or Glassley, who put on the circus show with spinning off on all the tires?
Oh yeah, that was Charles Leclerc. I've never seen a three. What we called that was
the Hockenheim maneuver.
The Hockenheim maneuver, yeah, not the Heimlich maneuver. Yeah, the Hockenheim maneuver.
Lick, I thought, yeah.
Hockenheim lick.
Hey, you know, it dates back to the Danny Solon spin and win.
Spin and win, Danny Solon won the 500.
Well, Phil,
not quite the same result.
No, it wasn't. Well, good deal, Phil. Have you been following Mercedes specifically, or who do you usually cheer for?
I cheer for the sport, but mostly I try to be a Williams fan, but Mercy. It's been a bad year.
He's a glutton for punishment, right?
Yeah, you don't live in Cleveland,
exactly.
Do you?
Hey, Phil, I got to ask you. Detroit. You've been following F1 for a while, it sounds like. What do you think of the changes that we're seeing from Liberty for the fan engagement, for the information that's being shared?
I think it's improved 100%.
Wow. Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
What do you like? What are you liking that Liberty's doing?
I just think that the basic idea that, I mean, the basic app works much better, especially for me. I travel a lot, but, you know, that you can go watch archive races. You can watch every race at your own
On demand,
schedule if you're not able to see it. I mean, it was just the basic understanding that people have to access the sport in different ways is what I think they're catering to.
Yeah,
they just
brought
it up to the 21st century.
Yeah, and I travel too, and you're right. When you're on a plane and, you know, you miss a practice or everybody's talking about a crash that you missed, it's great to be able to go to On Demand and then just download it and have a look at it and actually catch up.
The F1 app is maybe the best app in professional sports. I mean, I'm serious. I mean,
I would agree.
It's a fantastic app. I mean, live during the race.
It really works.
Yeah, there's so much. All the team radio that you can click on and play individually. The graphics. You know, when I first saw them, they're real hard to get used to. But once you manipulate them, they're kind of 3D. And that app is amazing.
A lot of good
effort. I think it works really well.
Yeah, and I think we're going
to... overall, you know, it seems like they're trying to get the message, you know. And certainly they're I think, doing a better job of engaging an American audience.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. You know, I talked to Will Buxton, and he and Jason Swales are still working together for Formula One now. And they're doing stuff on Twitter, post-race, pre-race. I haven't really delved that deeply into it, but I think it's going to be, again, that's going to be a small bite kind of, a different kind of interaction with a different kind of audience, probably. So you really have, like you say, the smorgasbord of going deep into Formula One by going to all the sessions at every session, and then you've got the chance to go on social media and some of the, you know, the digital stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I can't do all of that, but it fits my niche.
Hey, so Phil, how long have you been watching the sport? How long have you been following F1?
Oh gosh, since I was a teenager.
Okay, so you're a long time fan.
That was a long time ago.
Well, Phil, thanks a lot for calling in on the road there, buddy. We appreciate you listening.
Yeah. Love you guys. Thank you for what you do. And, good race. Fun.
All right.
All righty.
Thanks, Phil.
We're only halfway there.
Halfway, man.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, great celebration.
You bet.
All right. Talk to you soon, buddy. Hey, guys.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, it's good. I
like the fact that, you know, he's not somebody that just recently came. He obviously has watched the sport long enough that, you know, it sounds like he's familiar with the business, and he's familiar with how the fans are engaged and how the fans are reached.
And speaking of Twitter, you just mentioned Twitter and Buxton, all them. I just checked, and the German Grand Prix was number 5 trending in the United States.
Nice.
Wow.
After the race. I didn't check it until after the race, and then I checked Austin just to see. You know, I figured home of the Grand Prix here, and the same. Number five trending on Twitter.
Nationwide.
Nationwide 5th. Whoa. And Austin 5th. Yeah.
That's nice. Really good.
I mean, you know, we've talked, Will Buxton was talking about how many viewers
had
they
had? Two and a half million for their first show on Twitter.
That was their first Twitter show. 2.5. And there's, I mean, obviously with the newness of social media to Formula One after the new era. They went from almost no social media to having a social media. So yeah, you're going to be growing fast. But they are the fastest growing social media in professional sports, at least in the United States. I'm not sure if that's worldwide. But
I tell you what, here's another reason to specifically follow Speed City. Had a little conversation with Will Buxton this week, and we may have something for you coming up soon. So stick with us. Follow us on social media.
Are you being cryptic with us?
I am.
Okay.
That's Lewis's favorite thing.
He does love it.
I do.
Crypto bomb.
It's my little secret for a little while, and then I let it out, and everybody joins in on the party.
He grew up in a family of girls. That's what it is. He just nips into the living room and makes a tease and then runs out.
Are you kidding? I just run away.
Well, good to have a caller. And if you want to call in, 512-643-5483.
Plenty to talk about.
Yeah, plenty to talk about. All right, so what else about the race today, guys? Obviously, the rain shook things up. We were all praying for rain after about the 40 laps. But yeah, it shook it up pretty good.
Yeah, I think, forget just for the weather for a sec. I'm really impressed with the competitiveness of this year of all the teams, strategy-wise, choice of tires and how they're doing it. And how the midfield teams are now punching above their weight in historic terms and really making a go of it. And I'm thinking Haas, and I'm thinking, as we saw last year, more actually, Force India. There's still a lot to be talked about on the driver scene. I mean, I know that Hamilton and Bottas have created the dominoes. I think Ricciardo will stay where he is because of that. There is a chance that he could still go to Ferrari if Kimi decides to hang it up, or they decide to hang up Kimi. he's driving really well at the moment, Kimi.
Yeah, I picked him to win the race, as you heard, and he did pretty good today. And he was a good soldier, followed team orders basically today.
If you want, that could be something we could delve into, which is, you know, the sort of permutations of now we know about Lewis, where the other drivers will come from.
All right, we've got another caller. Let's talk to Larry in South Carolina. Larry, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. I'm a bit chagrined here because I missed the race.
What?
Oh, you're kidding.
We can tell you all about it.
I've been listening to everybody comment about the race, and not being a social media guru, I have no way to catch up with what transpired other than print media somewhere. But from the description and the past races we've looked at this year, this really, really, no hyperbole here, a season for the ages, the competitiveness, the storylines, the top drivers in this generation going head-to-head, the drives from behind, the the twists and turns of the season. This is one that's going to be remembered for decades and decades. And I think it's a great introduction for Liberty to really introduce Formula One to the United States.
I think that's exactly right. The same thing that we had somebody tweet at us just a minute ago. I'm just going to read this tweet. The championship is absolutely lit this year. We're on pace to have the most significant championship affecting race
Who's
here
that?
In Austin. This is Andy P.
He's
from Austin, and he says championship affecting race here at COTA that we've ever had. How it will twist and turn before then. Larry, you're right. You and Andy are dead on the money. And Jonathan, don't you agree?
Yeah, and Larry, I think you hit the nail on the head. This is such an important one for Liberty because they are going through a massive change. I just came back from the British Grand Prix. Everybody's talking about the future. Everybody's talking about the potential of Miami and what that means to everybody else. I think you're right. They need a season like this to really get everybody behind Formula One. And so when the changes come, everybody doesn't, everybody's on board.
Yeah, we got to go straight to break, Larry. But thank you very much for calling. Thanks for tuning in and listening. And I believe your thoughts are dead on the money. And that's actually a great segue, Larry. Thank you, because we're going to go into the next segment.
Yeah, stay tuned.
We're going to go into a bunch of the business of Formula One, including all about what you just said about Liberty and how they're doing. So stick with us through the break and listen to Speed City live in Austin, Texas. Back after these messages.
MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35. Are you craving an adrenaline rush? Well, get your fix at Dirtfish. Get sideways on one of our race-ready Subaru WRX STIs or Subaru BRZs. Learn advanced car control skills on any surface, in any condition. Test your skills on 12 different rally courses across our 315-acre training facility. Get your adrenaline fix by visiting dirtfish.com.
Listen to Talk 1370 anytime, anywhere on the radio.com app.
Baby, can't you... Hi there, my name's Derek Bell. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Jonathan, I was going, who is this? You said it's Britney. I was like,
yeah, come on, man.
Golly.
I guess I'm just, you knew it like after 3 seconds.
I'm a music man.
Okay. I think you just like Britney.
I do.
All right, guys, we wrapped up the German Grand Prix. Great race today. Another good race in Formula One. We've had, four in a row really good races now?
Well, when you look back over the years, since we started this show back in 2012, we're sort of in line with
the COTA
when it came to be. We've had the dominance of Mercedes. We've had McLaren, who were at the top of their game at the time. We've had Red Bull's domination. And now we're finally seeing Ferrari and Red Bull step up and take Mercedes on. That hydraulics failure, as I said, is systematic, I think, of the fact that Mercedes are being pushed to the very limit. I think Ferrari have found something. They've got the advantage now in sort of week in, week out, and they're using it. It doesn't mean they're going to win every race. And look at Hamilton today. He started 14th and still won the race. Now, that's just good tactics, which means that Mercedes are having to work for it. And I like that. And I think today is an example as we get to the halfway point. Bottas clearly is going to help Lewis win this title. title as his job. He's just got a new contract too, and I think it was made very clear that Lewis is the number one driver.
That was paragraph 7, article 4.
Correct.
You help Lewis
at all times. Yeah. You will help your teammate.
Yeah, and you know, watching Lewis Hamilton come through the crowd today, come through the grid, you knew he would zip through the crowd, the grid quickly, right? Coming up through, and he'd probably reach six.
But it was effortless, wasn't it?
It was totally effortless. But when he got to, I thought, when he got to about the Haas or maybe Renault teams, I thought, well, maybe it's going to take him a little longer, indicative of the fact that the midfield is better. But even then, he blew past everybody and was in fifth place without any effort at all.
Well, the one for me was Haas. We've been, you know, waxing rhapsodic about how good Haas are, and he made them look as though they were standing still.
He made everybody below Red Bull look basically like they weren't even in the race.
No, we've got a three-way battle of six cars for the win, which doesn't sound much, and for the purists, they'd be like, well, I want to see, you know, all 20 cars, but the truth is that's better than we've had in the last few years. So that's why I think we're all excited, and that's why the racing is being, you know, it has been as good as it is at the moment.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's expecting this to be a 20-car race every single race. I don't think that would even, that'll never happen, so I'm not worried about that. Just to update everybody on the standings, Mercedes 310 now, Ferrari 302. This is constructor, obviously. Red Bull 211, Renault 80, and Force India and Haas now tied at 59.
How far are they behind Renault?
21 points. So it's
a halfway point where, you know.
Yeah, the gap stayed about the same between Renault and Haas, but what I didn't see coming was Force India catching Haas. And then below them, Renault with 48, Toro Rosso 20, Sauber 18, and Williams still at 4. But guys, I want to switch gears. I want to move to the business of Formula One.
See?
Because we've had some phenomenal interviews in the last couple of weeks.
All basically starting with Sean Bratches. Go right to the top, go to the top man, and then see what the opinions are around that.
That's a great way to, you just laid out my interview schedule there.
Sorry.
We're going to start with Sean Bratches because, Jonathan, you got to go to London and sit with the managing director of commercial operations of Formula One.
Yeah, and I do think getting his opinion first and their vision first gives us an indication to then, you know, the journalists will talk and write and have their opinions. That's what they're there for. But it's great to actually go to the source and see what the vision of Formula One for the future with Liberty Media, Sean Bratches, 30 years at ESPN, now tasked with the commercial direction of Formula One. And it was a fascinating insight. And he was, you know, gave me a lot of time. And there's quite a lot of that interview that I want to get out as the weeks go on. But obviously, the big talking point has to be Miami. It's on everybody's lips at the moment who are interested in Formula One. And interestingly enough, it seems to be kind of ebbing and flowing. We thought it was going to be a July 1st decision. Then we thought it was going to be a July 26th decision, i.e. next week. And it's still not decided. But
yeah, I don't want this to turn into a New Jersey, but you know, this is a huge thing that's about to happen, so it's not ever easy. But let's go ahead and start with this interview, this clip from our interview with Sean Bratches.
So I won't keep you too long, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about how you're progressing with Miami. There's a lot of talk, there's a lot of headlines and stories written. How are you progressing? Where are you? And how realistic is the possibility of a 2019 street race around Miami?
Yeah, so we're you know, we've got a strategy as it relates to our race promotion business, and I think, you know, central to that is to maintain the heritage races and racetracks that we race at today. We also have a number of purpose-built tracks around the world, from Shanghai to Austin to Bahrain, where we race. And we've got two pure street races in Monaco and Singapore, and we have, I would say, hybrids in Montreal, Mexico City, and Melbourne. You know, we think that the next tranche of Grand Prix, we'd like to go to major city centers where we can actually bring our brand to the masses, and at the same time have phenomenal, iconography in the background from a television standpoint. Miami is an extraordinary town. It's an extraordinary brand. I think it's a brand that aligns with Formula One as well or better than any other city in the world. You know, they're both about celebrity. They're both about fashion. You know, they're both about technology. They're both about luxury. And I've been having conversations for over a year, started before Monaco in 2017. And, you know, we've been very respectful of the process. We've had a both a city and a county commission votes that unanimously supported us moving forward in the process. And effectively what that did would it authorized the city manager to negotiate an agreement with us, which we're in the process of doing. We understand how to race in cities and respect cities. You know, we've been racing in Monaco since 1950. We've been, you know, this was our 40th year in Montreal, racing downtown Montreal, and last year we extended that agreement through 2029. And they want us back because we're good citizens. I think there's a lot of civic pride that comes from a Formula One race, but also importantly, the economic benefit from a Grand Prix is extraordinary, and it fights very hard for these cities, and it's one of the reasons that, you know, we renewed our street race in Singapore last year, we renewed Shanghai last year, and we have, you know, we have continuity. We just renewed Spa, not a city race, but an example of, you know, the importance of that. So I'm an optimist by nature. You know, we're working closely with many constituencies in the Miami market, and I'm hopeful that this will come to fruition, because I think it'll be good for the citizens of Miami, the local businesses, and the overall Miami economy.
Yeah, well, who knows better than us here in Austin, having lived through
this? Yeah.
We followed every step of the way, starting in 2010, whenever they 2 years ahead of the Grand Prix, and we know the steps that they're at, that's ahead of them, and I do love his optimism.
Yep,
but I'd
almost argue that I think I said it too. I think it's benefited Austin more than it would Miami. It's great for Miami, but Miami is in Florida, and you've got so much else going on there, and it's also a market because of the sunshine of Florida and so on and so forth, and the coast that has been open to Europe and been open to foreign travel. This just would kind of seal the deal. Let's go to Florida. Let's go to Disney World. Let's go to the beach, and we'll take in a Formula One race.
Well, you know, the one thing, there has come up some resistance to it in Miami, a lot of the local businesses, because preparations for that event, they say it'll start as much as 3 weeks after is what it's going to impact there. And it's going to be a couple of months before.
After
the race. But
2 months before, 3 weeks after.
Right. And okay. So it's really going to mess with businesses along those routes. And so that's where it's just going to mess with things. And that's what they're afraid of, is because they don't think that what they will gain out of the race will offset what the individual businesses will.
And as you heard Sean, his argument being that we're good citizens, i.e. Formula One are good citizens in Monaco, in Singapore, in Baku. There is always, you know, whenever you're going to a city, but look what Formula E have done. They've literally predominantly gone to cities.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought though, Les. I hadn't really thought about it from this standpoint now, and that I'm about to say is that, remember when Formula One was coming here? It was Bernie, it was this foreign company, and it was like, they don't know what it's going to be like here. Now you've got an American-based company who's going to be maybe more sympathetic to the businesses and saying, all right, there's going to be a lot of businesses are going to have a windfall, hotels, car rentals, and then there's other businesses that are maybe be shut down for a period of time, maybe either.
Sure.
But the big difference is Austin, Austin would never, I don't think, have a Formula One race in the streets of Austin because of that. We have so many road closures and so many festivals and so many great things going on.
So many traffic jams.
Well, but there's no, you know, to do a Formula One race downtown. And if you remember, Formula E was mooted as coming and it hasn't. And I don't think Austin would want a street race, and that is why Elroy, and that is why the Circuit of the Americas is perfect. Everybody thought it was quite a long way out of town, but it isn't. And the fact that people are going to concerts, from Counting Crows to Live to anybody else, to Willie Nelson, everybody's, you know, it's become now a venue, not necessarily the venue. And there's so many good ones here, but you know, it's made its place.
All right. Well, I want to take a break now because I want to hold this next interview till after this break, because this next interview is with Christian Silt. He's the editor of Formula Money, and we're going to get his take, which is a little different from Sean Bratch's, on what might happen in Miami and the deal, the actual structure of the deal.
Sorry.
That's all right. So stick with us through the break, because I'm a fascinating business interview about Formula One with Christian Silt. You're listening to Speed City live in Austin, back after a quick break.
walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein.
MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
The Austin East KOA Campground, just 15 minutes from Circuit of the Americas and downtown Austin, and just 2 minutes from the Travis County Expo Center and Central Texas Fishing at Decker Lake, featuring amenities for every style of camping, from tent sites to luxury RV pull-throughs and cabins, plus a pool, showers, and laundry. Nestled in tall oak trees on the edge of the hill country, all the pleasures of the Lone Star State await you at Austin East KOA. To make your reservation, visit AustinEastKOA.com.
Talk 1370. The right choice.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLenosGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, when we went to the break, we talked about an interview we did with Christian Silt. He's the editor of Formula Money, and he's got an article. He's got a regular article in Forbes magazine about Formula One, and he's specialized in the business of Formula One, looking at it from the business side, sponsorship side, all the money side, and fascinating data that this guy and his partner Caroline, I believe, they produce. But we talked to him yesterday and talked to him about this exact same thing that we just spoke with Sean Bratches about Miami, and we talked about not only the viability of the whole deal, the whole getting the race up and running, but the deal that they're talking about, which is very, very different from the Ecclestone era of Formula One, and that is where you just plop down pay Bernie a big jet pile of money. So let's go ahead and hear this clip from Christian Silt.
Now, I think the biggest difference, for sure, with the Miami deal is that, and this has come out in the contracts that I've seen so far, is that there's no mention of a hosting fee. I mean, the going rate for an F1 hosting fee at the minute is about $31.5 million a year, rising by 5% annually. That's the escalator. And certainly, normally that fee will be paid or covered by the government, whether it's federal or state. Government, as it is indeed in Austin, where the government's putting in somewhere in the order of $20 million a year to cover the hosting fee. But in the case of Miami, certainly the government is not covering anything like that amount. There's been no mention of a fee, in fact. And really, the government's liability in terms of financial liability stretches to around $1.5 million a year, increasing by 3% annually. And that covers kind of the key services that will be needed to pull off the race, policing, waste cleanup, traffic control, etc. So it's $1.5 million a year. That's what the government will be, the local government will be putting in. And I wrote a piece for Forbes recently saying actually that the local government, that's the city of Miami, they're actually trying to get the state of Florida to cover that amount too. So, it's $1.5 million, and usually the going rate is about 30. Big difference. And this is driven really because Liberty Media, F1's owners, is listed in America on the NASDAQ and based in Colorado. They want more races in America because obviously you've only got one at the minute. And so they appear to be waiving the hosting fee. And that really is, you could say that's a catalyst to get the race off the ground. The difficulty that they've got in Miami is that the track is passing through, or the street track is, course, I suppose, is passing through a park called Bayfront Park. And the local residents are not impressed with the fact that it's going to be passing through the park. They've already had to change the route once already. because it was originally going through another park, which has been earmarked for basically development. So they had to change the route already, but it's still going through another park, Bayfront Park. And the residents there have filed, a group of 11 residents have filed a cease and desist order with the City Hall, basically getting them to us to stop the race and negotiations for it. So, I mean, there's a definite hurdle there. I mean, there was meant to be a decision on whether to approve the contract on Thursday next week. So I think that's the 26th. And now that has been deferred until September. So it remains to see if that's ever actually going to happen.
I was going to say, that was my next question, because we saw that there was a what we call a soft July 1st date when I was at the British Grand Prix. Then it went to the 26th of July. Then it went to August. And now you're telling me September. Yeah, so this is definitely becoming a problem.
And when we spoke...
I've seen this before. With the classic example, which, you know, just seems to be reflecting it, is New Jersey. This is exactly what happened in New Jersey. It got delayed and delayed and delayed so many times. And eventually, you know, it was delayed, you know, in the end by years, and it never happened, obviously.
Well, you bring up New Jersey, and that was a sad story, because we all wanted New Jersey to happen.
Yep.
And what do you think the odds of this happening in Miami are?
I don't think there's very much chance at all of it happening next year, from everything I hear. I don't think it's likely at all for next year, but you never know. Beyond that, who knows?
You know, you get polar opposites there with optimism and pessimism.
Well, and that's, you know, as a journalist doing exactly his job and bringing out some of the pitfalls, which are true. And the dates he mentioned are very much true. But to be honest, we saw this with New Jersey. And to be honest, we saw this with COTA too.
We saw it in Austin. Remember November of 2011?
Yeah.
They stopped construction. In fact, that's really what got us started at Speed City, is everybody was saying, "Well, I guess it's done. Nobody's going to do this." I was like, "No, guys, we got
this kind of thing." There's a lot of momentum for these types of events. You know, whether it's from the local community, but they certainly have an impact and a benefit to it. And you know, that was the one thing. You know, when I've talked to folks around here that are still curious about that noisy 1,100 acres out there. It's like, come on out. There's all this going on, and you know, you'll meet people from all over the world. You'll see a sport that's one of the most regarded in the world. It's just there's still people waking up.
And I would argue that Miami is far more sport crazy in terms of, you know, the major franchises, from the Heat to David Beckham's soccer team. I mean, you know, this is both a state and a town that loves and would, you know, would love the idea of this.
Well, and it's a huge MSA, they call it, metropolitan area. The city of Miami itself is actually smaller than Austin, but the MSA is double what Austin is. So this is a huge part of the...
And like I said, I think Liberty's real big reason why Miami is the first one they want to capture is that it is the perfect midpoint between the European audience, who can jump on a plane and be there in 5 hours, which is no different than going from, let's say, England to Germany today, or Finland, as you just saw, to Germany today. Yeah. I mean, it really isn't. I mean, those Finnish fans, they've come from Finland to see their guy Bodas or Kimi do the business. It makes it a very good place to go from all over the world, including North America and effectively Mexico and South America.
All right, well, I'm going to play one more clip. Another journalist, Kate Walker, because I want you to listen to her take on Miami, because why not? Let's get all three of these.
Spoke to her at Silverstone, yeah.
Yeah, let's hear from Kate Walker.
Very interested about how their perception and how their growth is going to be. Circuit of the Americas is now well established, and the only Formula One circuit in America. Now there's talk of Miami. That puts the back foot a little bit on the Circuit of the Americas, but not necessarily. I think people may misunderstand that. It's a bit like the conflab here between a permanent circuit and a street circuit. And I think if I glean correctly, Liberty want to bring it to the cities, want to bring the atmosphere, want to bring the entertainment brand to Formula One more so. Just looking at America then, therefore, do you think that Miami will be a go, and do you think that there'll be more to come?
I definitely think there'll be more. I've heard talk of both permanent facilities being constructed and street race discussions. Miami, I don't know 100% whether or not it's going to be happening for 2019. It would be absolutely fabulous if it did. But, you know, the thing about organising a street race is the permits that you need, the facilities that you need. There were reports this week in Forbes that some residents are refusing to give permission to use a certain a patch of land that's supposed to be on the edge of the track. These things can all be dealt with. The question is, how quickly can they be dealt with? And what F1 has in its favour is Stephen Ross, the man behind the Miami Dolphins. He's also involved in F1 Vision and Fan Vision, the little TV sets that they're selling all over the place here. I mean, he's got his finger in an awful lot of F1 affiliated pies, and he's got an awful lot of money. He's got experience of putting on events in Miami. He knows everybody he needs to know on the various boards and city councils, and he's backing the race. So I think the might of him, we will see it happen. It's just it may not be ready in time for 19 with all the permits and paperwork and that kind of nonsense.
And do you think that the business model that Bernie had, let's say, with Circuit of the Americas and pretty much every other track in the world will change? And it seems that Miami is maybe that first change where it isn't, hey, we're coming, we need, you know, $30+ million and, you know, a 10% rise in every year, but we'll work with you to promote this. So that's the difference. Do you think that's going to be the case worldwide, not just in America?
Absolutely, I think so. And it's one of the reasons that we're having certain delays with contract negotiations at the moment. Because I think COTA are still waiting on signing off on the extension of their deal. Suzuka, I think, still needs to sign. Silverstone still needs to sign. And everybody seems to be sticking their heels in and going, hang on a minute, you gave Miami this fantastic deal, why are we still on the old package? Which I'm not sure how Liberty are going to deal with that, because, you know, they invested in a business, they're listed on the stock market, they want to make money for themselves, for their shareholders, they also need to invest in the sport. The investments that we've seen over the last year or so doing promotional activities like London Live, actually hiring a marketing department and a social division for the first time, F1 TV, all of these bits and bobs, they've cost a lot of money, and they've cost the teams a lot of money, because the capital has come out of what was the prize fund. And if Liberty need to find a business model where they can keep the teams financially happy, because the teams require prize money when they can't get sponsorship, they need to keep the circuits happy, but they also need to keep their own board happy and their own investors happy. And I think that is why we're seeing such a push to F1 TV at the moment, because they've taken a look and realized that the current model with circuits is unsustainable. But that if they can get the fans to pay for their own passion through a subscription model and giving them more TV, more access, that sort of thing, I think that is where they're going to find the wiggle room to cut circuits deals.
Interesting.
Fascinating. That was Kate Walker. She writes for ESPN and The New Yorker. And one of my favorite things that she said in there was talking about Stephen Ross, who's the owner of the Miami Dolphins, who's, you know, when we talked to the mayor of Miami, and he said, well, we talked about the fee as well, Stephen Ross is going to be writing the check. And you know what?
If, he may well be.
He's involved in FanVision. He's already involved in Formula One. And if it's just a matter of him writing the check, he's got a vested interest to make some money with it, then maybe that's the most telling thing. Maybe that'll make Miami happen.
I hope it happens. If we could get three Grand Prix, including the Circuit of the Americas here in America, then we really are onto something.
Miami, Elroy, and Bastrop? Is that what you're thinking?
No. I'm thinking just go back to New York or, you know.
All right, guys. Well, we are just about out of time. I hope you enjoyed all that fascinating business discussion of Formula One, because all of that, we're going to be putting all of those interviews over time up on SoundCloud.
And to go back to a Wimbledon phrase, advantage Hamilton.
Yes.
Oh, man.
In the championship. Back
but
here.
It ain't over.
Nope.
It is not over.
Yeah, we were only in the first set, yeah.
And if you missed our pre-race show, we do a pre-race and post-race to every Formula One race. Check out our website to find out how to listen, speedcitybroadcast.com. Check out all our social media and our SoundCloud accounts, and we will talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
Ciao, y'all.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.